Reading from the book of James, chapter 3, and reading from the first verse. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with great strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes is speaking in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord.
We stand for our gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 27 to the end. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Would you please be seated as Priscilla comes forward to open up God's word to us.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Today's is special. I'm fully. Good. Good morning, church. Okay, I'm okay here.
Put it in the middle.
Okay. Okay, good. Excellent. We're here. Right, let me pray. Yes. Holy Spirit, come here, come. Be with us and teach us. Teach us. Espíritu Santo, ven sobre nosotros y enséñanos. In Jesus' name, en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have to say, after the reading of James chapter 3, I feel very humble this coming here this morning. I want you to know that I do not take this teaching lightly. I take it seriously. I take it very seriously. Although I make a lot of jokes, but I do take it seriously. And I have so many things to say, that things that I would like to share with you. And I'm always very excited to come here and to tell you. But at the same time, I submit myself to God and pray that He will use my tongue to say what He wants to say, something that will edify you and will edify me at the same time. And I trust He will speak to you, to your particular situation. You all came here with different situations, so I trust that He will speak to your particular situation. As you may not remember everything I say or anything I say, but sometimes God says one word, one phrase, and it goes bang, straight to our heart. And I pray that that phrase will stick to your soul and will work in you, transforming you. So, Oksana, please help me. Today, the talk. Yes. The question and the measuring tape. That's the title. The question and the measuring tape. Yeah? Will you remember that? And it's good that you spoke about question, that God told you about a question this morning, because it's about the question. And I want to emphasize, this is not a question, this is the question. And questions are important. My son Lawrence, of course I have to speak about Lawrence, had a birthday party. And when I brought the cake, I didn't want other children to blow the candles. I wanted Lawrence to blow the cake and blow the candles. And I didn't want to come and say, don't blow the candles, you know, that sort of things to the other children. So I decided to use some sort of, you know, parental skills and tools. And I posed a question. And I said to the children, you do that voice with the children, we are going to sing happy birthday song. And somebody here will blow the candles. But, I said, whose birthday? Whose birthday is it today? And they all put their hand up. All of them. I just couldn't believe it. So that day, you know, the parental skills, they didn't work. The question tool didn't work. But questions makes us think, isn't it? Questions make us think. In my house, we have an ongoing debate, and it's dog or no dog. The house is divided. And Karen, my daughter, who knows about questions, because I always pose questions and she knows about questions, she said, Mommy, can I ask you a question? I say, yes. I say, Mommy, when you were a child, did you have a dog? I said, yes. Mommy, when Daddy was a child, did he have a dog? Yes. I said, and she pauses, oh, that means, when I grew up, I will say to my children, in my childhood, I didn't have a dog. Ouch! Ouch. That was The debate is still there, dog or no dog. But questions make us think. So I invite you to follow Jesus. Come with me. I love time traveling. Yes, come. Have you noticed that Jesus answered many questions with another question? Jesus asks questions. Why? Well, one thing is for sure. Questions are not there because he does not know the answers. Questions are there to draw something out of us. Yeah? We do not know the answer. And he's posing questions and he's drawing us to see things that we need to see. So questions. He said first, he asked first, what do people say I am? What do people say I am? He asked the disciples. So if we explore the gospel, we find the answer to this question in a way, because people have called Jesus actually nasty things. They have said demon-possessed, false teacher, sinner. And so it's very interesting that these are not the terms that the disciples use. Their answer was their own answer, who they would like Jesus to be. John the Baptist, Elijah, prophet. It's a curious list. It's almost a cleanup answer. And it is inclined to the idea that Jesus is a national deliverer to bring back the good old days. But Jesus sees their reaction and then intensifies the question. And this is the question I would like to explore with you this morning. And the question is, who do you say Jesus is? The question, who do you say Jesus is? Peter actually is answering that question, and although it was the right answer, he misinterprets the word Messiah. The truth is that we all tend to misinterpret who Jesus is. We all see as a powerful, great deliverer only. But Jesus is trying to get people to see his heart. After Jesus explained to the disciples the meaning of Messiah, what will happen? Peter does not like it a bit. Look, listen to what the Bible says. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Peter rebuking Jesus, understanding who Jesus was. To Jesus, the Messiah is more than a national hero. It's far bigger, better, much more than simply kicking out the Roman occupying military force. He's much more than the one that would extract us from an unfavorable situation, much more than that. He does not only stands by offering us a comfortable word, reassuring quotes. He's actually stepping into history and destroying sin and death to unshackle the human race from our most fearsome enemy. God is all in for us. Now, we all have friends. You have friends here in church and outside church, isn't it? Obviously, we all have friends. We have Christian friends and we have friends that are not Christians. So what do you say to them, Jesus is? What do you say? How do you answer Jesus' affirmation when he says, I am the truth, the way, the life? He's not saying I am a truth, a way, among others. God is affirming that he is absolute. He is the way. He is the Messiah. A very radical thing to say in a society where we live, where relativism is praised. When nothing is absolute, except obviously relativism itself. And I'm worried about that. You know, there was a school in America that they families got together and to talk about how to work in the school, and they could not even agree on the definition of family. Imagine how diverse things have become. Relative gives freedom to any human subjectivity, good, right, or wrong. Let me give you an example. On the 23rd of June this year, you remember this, a bunch of children got trapped inside a cave in Thailand, yeah? What do? We were glued, isn't it? We were glued to the TV. We wanted to know what's happened. The whole world came to a standstill for this incredible value for those children, of those children. And yet, at the same time, during the same week in Argentina, my country, in South America, thousands of women were taking the streets fighting for a law to legalize abortion. In other words, the right to kill perfectly healthy children. So why is this that one child in Thailand has so much value and the other child in Argentina has zero value? What is this? Why? Well, because it has nothing to do with the child. It's about parental preferences. The value of the child depends entirely on the opinions and preference of others. This is how relativism operates. And this is here now in our world. Human subjective opinion making morality. And I'm sorry about all this jargon, you know, because what I'm trying to convey here is that I can say, and you can say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus. Some other person can say, I don't believe in Jesus. Or I believe in something else, or in someone else, you know. They say that. And we listen to these things, and we respect each other, and we say, okay, this is tolerance. Good. We are doing well. But the thing is, Jesus say, I am the Savior. I am the Savior. So how do we show Jesus to this Messiah, to our friends, people around us, this absolute God? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? So let's see what it says in the gospel. Peter gave the answer, you are the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus warned them to keep it quiet. It is necessary that the Son of Man proceeds to an ordeal of suffering, be tried and found guilty by the elders, high priests, and religious scholars, be killed, and after 3 days, rise up alive. You know, it has always puzzled me, the fact that he said, keep it quiet. Not very evangelistic, isn't it? But I think what Jesus is trying to say, he wanted for the disciples to witness his love. Jesus wanted to show them the power of love, not only to tell them what he thinks. Jesus is the Messiah who uses death itself for a purpose of redeeming the world, an absolute, pure act of love. And to me, this is the answer to the question. Love. Last summer, I read a book called Everybody Always, and I shared with some people here, by Bob Goff. And he talks about this love. And he said, this is good, listen. And he said, we need to love and point people to Jesus. Point them to his direction. Love them fearlessly, furiously, unreasonably. Shall I say it again? Love them furiously, fearlessly, unreasonably. Love. God wants us to love the ones who we don't understand, the ones we disagree, to get to know their names, to invite them to do things with us. I want to see people for what they could become in Jesus. I want to see, don't you? I want to see people for what they could become in Jesus. But this is not any type of love. It's a love frame. in the Word of God. It's not a romantic love. It's not a fraternal love. It's an agape love. It's selfless, sacrificial, forgiving, unconditional. You know, a lot of people, I've heard lately, that a lot of people don't like the country Uruguay. Uruguay is a small country, the east side of Argentina. A lot of people don't like Uruguay. And you know why? Because there is a football player from Uruguay that keeps biting other players. And he's famous for that, and he has made his country famous for that. So people don't like Uruguay, that's it. The other 5 million of people, that's it, don't count. We tend to judge a whole country because of one player and his peculiar taste. So, if that is so, the people tend to judge Christianity, tend to judge Jesus for one Christian. Who do you say Jesus is? You know, I want people to meet me and to meet you, to meet me. I want people to meet me and to meet you and feel that they have just met Jesus. When they fail, when they hit hard, when they need somebody to listen, somebody to listen to them. I want them to hear God, Jesus saying to them, I am not against you. I want to set you free. I have chosen you. I have never abandoned you, and I don't intend to abandon you. I want them to hear that. My child, I love you unconditionally. Jesus wants to be part of, was with them, and he wants us to participate. Of course, there is time to talk. Jesus did it all the time, talking, sharing the good news in all sorts of ways, walking with all sorts of people. We read in James the power of the tongue. The truth is that we will never be able to control the tongue. And can only come here, stand here, and encourage myself and encourage you to bless others, to speak life unto others. There are people here that need that, and people outside that need that. They need somebody to speak life unto them, to declare what they could become in Jesus. Remember that. To declare, go declaring what you can become in Jesus. What can you could you become in Jesus? The question, who do you say Jesus is? You know, love presses into us into vulnerability. Love calls us to open ourselves to people who think different, who speak different, who behave different. Love calls our stereotypes into account. You know, God wants us to love real people, not ideal ones. For friends, it's so easy to love the ideal ones. We love them anyway. We don't need to make any effort. God wants in us to love the real ones, the real people, not the ideal ones. When we love people, we want to be together in a community, as we were been listening on Sunday evenings about community. The essence of love is not what we think or say, it's how much of ourselves we give to others. Guys, there is an amazing power in washing people's feet. There is an amazing power in washing people's feet, in serving others. This is why Jesus said, if anyone to become my followers, Let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. And now I know you are puzzling, because I said today is about the question and the measuring tape. And as I said to you, I read a book. Can you hold this for me? Thank you, darling. I read a book about Bob Goff, but I also met Bob Goff with other people here. We went to a conference and we met him. He's a nice guy. Amazing. And I'm going to borrow an example that he gave in the conference. And he brought a measuring tape. Yes, the question and the measuring tape. And this measuring tape is going to symbolize my life here on earth. It's going to symbolize your life here on earth. Here, the life that God has given us here. So last June, I was 52 years old. Happy birthday, Priscilla. Yeah. Be amazing, isn't it? 52, let me see. Yep.
51.
I'm sorry, 51. Sorry. Sorry, darling. He was 52 last week. Thank you. This is called the pressure of love. Anyway, 51. Centimeters, okay? I understand centimeters. Is that okay? This is 51 centimeters, okay? Scissors, come here. Scissors. Bye-bye. Gone. They've gone. Ah, can I go back? No. All right. From 52. Thank you, John. I don't know how long I'm going to live. Do you? Nobody knows. I'm going to be nice. I heard that Anthea's mom was 92? Okay, let's go for 92. 92. Heaven is not ready. 92. Okay, this is... No, it's not going to be part of me. So this is... this symbolizes my life. Yeah? You do your own scissors and your own counting in your head. This is it. This is the life I have been given now, and I have a mission. Something to do. Have a mission, something to do. There is a kingdom to build. There is an earthquake. Sin has left here an earthquake. Possessions, money is something that comes and goes. We can make money, isn't it? If we work, if we do something, we can make money. Isn't that true? Yeah, we can. Can we make time? We cannot. We cannot make time come back. What I've just said is gone. We cannot make more time. When you give someone time, you are giving them a portion of your life. Yeah? You are giving them a portion of your life. Something that will never come back. We have given a certain amount of time to show who Jesus is. So, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Think, how are you going to show in the next centimeter in your life, or millimeter? How are you going to show? What are you going to show? How are you going to express God's love to others? This is your homework. This is what you need to think about. Because God, you know what? Jesus is asking you the question. Who do you say Jesus is? May God bless you and give you the wisdom to apply His word to your life and be a blessing to others and build up His kingdom. God bless you.